Hi. Get my volume going.
Joanna?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. Good to see you. Good to see everybody. Give everybody a moment to settle in. And also, let me turn off my.
Karen, you still in Ossipee?
I'm still in Ossipee.
I can tell by the woodwork.
Oh my God.
That's like beautiful.
Cloudy today, but it's been really lovely going for a walk in the snow every day.
Yeah. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Got a nice little office here set up for this week.
Lovely.
Mm.
We used to go to Ossipee in the summer. It's like Ossipee, Joanna. It's like living.
Where is that?
Northern New Hampshire.
It's beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I can see Lake Ossipee.
Oh, you can see it. Wow.
Mm.
All right. Let's get centered and settled. Let's take a moment and get grounded. So wherever you are, you can close your eyes. Remember your body. Find the connection that you're making with your seat. Allow yourself to feel supported and grounded by it. And then remember your breath. Really using the breath to connect with your body. With each breath in, let yourself fill up and open and expand. And with each exhale, release. And taking the next few breaths to feel the strength and the power and the structure of your spinal column. Feel it strong. As you breathe into your back body, feel the support and the strength in your back body and in your spinal column. And as you lean into that support in your back and that strength in your back, let that give you permission to open up your front. So as you breathe, your next few breaths, use those to open up your front while feeling your strong back. And notice what your body feels like from this place. From this place, ask your inner wisdom what it wants you to know as we go into our time together today. What does it want you to know or be aware of or be open to? What wisdom do you need as we step in? Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in. And exhale everything out with a sigh. And then allow your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time today. I just want to take a moment to see each of you. I'm so glad you guys are here. And I want to acknowledge that the state of the world continues to be chaotic and, you know, for some of us, anxiety provoking, anger provoking, disheartening. Maybe for some of us, we see opportunity. I haven't even read the headlines yet today, so I don't even know what the new developments are. But just to say that wherever you are, it's welcome here. And whatever you need, the space is here for you. Whether it's strategic about your business, client situation, inner work, or just, you know, what you need by way of the state of the world. It's all important. And that being said, I'm gonna just open us up. So we've got clinic Q&A call today. What do you guys need? Bring forward your questions. Again, anything related to business, client work, groups, inner work, just whatever you need. Alana.
Hi. There's three things. So I'll tell you what they are and then you can move in whatever order feels right. One, which maybe we'll come back to, is just as I want to do and deepen my own like anti-racist work, I'm aware of how my nervous system gets triggered in going in to do that work. And I'm wondering about if I think I need to find a way to learn that is like at works at the pace that I can work at. And so I'm wondering, and this could be later, but just recommendations you have for that. Because I'm in a pretty triggered, anxious state right now and having to hold like my business stuff as well as my work at Juilliard, which is starting again, which is really deep in the EDIB space. And there's been a lot of trauma there for faculty and students. That being said, there's two specific business questions that I have. So can I ask them? Yeah. Or should I?
Yeah. In terms of this first piece.
Yeah.
Well, a couple things. First of all, if you want to prioritize the business questions, let's look at those. And then I'll get some other hands and we'll swing back. And also there's a lot of resource in this group too. So, you know, when we swing back, I'm actually going to open it up, first to some other voices, because I think there's some voices here that, I've got some thoughts and I want to hear more what's going on for you around the trigger, but there's a lot of wisdom in this group and commitment to anti-racism. So
thank you.
You can swing back.
My two business questions. One of them I asked on the, in the Facebook group, and I'm just trying to finesse it a little because it's like, I need to write back to her today, which is just that I have a woman that I've worked with before. She's been in my group. When I worked with her before, my rates were very, very different, like very different. I'm aware that I want, you know, she's not like a wealthy person. She's a single mother and she's been a real gift in my work. So she wrote back and was like, I think right now the best thing for me would be rather than the group work, one-on-one work, can you let me know what your new offerings are? And I'm just even having anxiety about writing back that first letter to her. Like, do I say, here are my new rates, like, you know, here are some discounts, or do I, and I, the advice had been given to try to have a call with her to get on board. And I'm even nervous to be like, I just don't know how to like, I know this is like my perfectionism probably just like playing out again, but I would like to ask her like, yeah, I guess it's just our way of working together has been kind of a little bit fragmented over time. So I'm just like, she's not someone who just like is a prospect calling me and we set up a call, you know, we've worked together, we have a relationship. She knows me, she wants to know the numbers. Like, and I just feeling some anxiety about just like, yeah.
That. Yeah. So I think I was saying this in the Facebook group. If not, I was thinking it. you know, if you're feeling like she needs to know the numbers, you know, like that's what's going to be an integrity, then I would do both. I would share the numbers and also invite her into a conversation, right? So, you know, I'd let her know, you know, I've raised my rates a lot since we last worked together. This is what my rates look like now for new clients. I frequently, or I sometimes, you know, give a special rate for continuing clients. Mm-hmm. And I'd be more than happy to extend that to you. You know, I think next step would be to hop on the phone so, you know, we can just connect so I can hear more where you're at and what you need. And then we can get deeper into the numbers.
Okay.
Right, because sometimes, you know, it doesn't make sense to share the numbers and sometimes it does, you know, and if you wanna go further and say, and this is the discount, like if, you know, you can do that too. It just totally depends on what feels right. But don't feel like you have to stick to any kind of rule of like, don't share a number until you get on the phone. But I would also try to get on the phone.
And I guess, yeah, the question is like, I want to frame the getting on the phone, like, so that it's not like a waste of, like, she's like, I know I want to work with you. Either the finances are going to work or don't. And what I want to find is like the way to talk about like why a call is important. Because I do also feel that I want to create, we haven't had a great container in the past. Like it's been a little more like wishy-washy when we've done one-on-one work, you know? So I want to like create a space.
Yeah, I would put that not in those words, but I would say, you know, either way, I would love to hop on the call, you know, hop on the phone with you. Number one, just to hear your voice and to catch up, right? Because that is true. And number two, you know, if there is the possibility for us to work together, I don't want to just jump in without us. You can use those terms, setting the container, or you can say without us like getting really clear on what's the scope and what is it that you really want to achieve and how we're going to work together to create that for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. And then, you know, just re-raise your hand and swing back. Karen.
Hey. So I have a business question, like a marketing question. And that is, I've been doing all right at increasing the number of names on my mailing list and increasing the number of likes on my Facebook page, but I've become more and more aware of Facebook groups as being a powerful platform to keep communicating with people that are, like, you know, hovering. And in my experience, people tend to hover in my sphere for a year or two, and then they call me or join some low-end program to kind of see who it is. And so what are your experience and what are your suggestions around Facebook groups? And if I start a Facebook group, like, how do I invite, or is there like, what would be a good theme for it? I see you inviting people to your coaching evolution in pretty much all of these little webinars you do. It's like, hey, join a conversation here, right?
Yeah.
Join people there. So, and I've seen several of my colleagues do the same. So I'm like, maybe this is a step to get more engagement with the people that have liked me on Facebook to get them into a group.
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, I'm so glad you're thinking about it, because I think it's like it shows your readiness. I know it's a marketing question, but it also, it feels like a leadership opportunity, you know, and a next level of leadership for you. Before I go into any of the things I do want to share, you know, I always share with you guys as I'm learning. This last week with the retreat that I did was the first time that we got some pushback. Thank you. It was the first time that we got some pushback around the Facebook group because of political reasons. And like, obviously that's been on my radar, but I did want to share, like, it, you know, at some point, I'm kind of watching and looking, and at some point I may even do some research into moving groups to another platform. I'm not there yet, and Facebook is working just fine, but just to, you know, feels important just to toss that in, that there are a growing amount of people that are not so keen to be on Facebook and share information about themselves on Facebook. And who knows, with everything going on in the world, it's like, you never know how quickly things are gonna turn. And Sandra, I do wanna talk to you about that. but that being said, without me being an expert in knowing any of those things, I think it's a great idea that you wanna, you know, start doing this. And I'll share a couple of things. So first of all, what is the purpose, right? And it's what you said, but I just kind of want to underscore the purpose of doing a Facebook group is for people that have already engaged with you in one way or another to have another way of engaging with you and your energy and your material, and to feel part of your community. It's hard to feel part of a community when you receive emails. You know, sometimes like we can, but we don't really feel part of somebody's community when we receive their emails. Facebook can be a way of feeling more as part of the community. And one of the reasons I say that is because when someone comes into a Facebook group, you know, the highest hope, and I haven't been able to achieve this fully, I'm, you know, working on it, is for the people in it to not only feel engaged with you, but to feel engaged with each other, mm-hmm. right? And then it's like, we're part, Corinne is holding this thing that I'm a part of and I'm invested in it. You know, even if it's not invested a lot because it's a Facebook group, right? But it's kind of more so than just a newsletter. Does that make sense, what
yep.
I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's also a way for you to share more. And so much of marketing these days, you know, it used to be like, you know, years ago for a long time, is you could send a newsletter out and then you would see, okay, there are this many opens and this many things. And so the newsletter worked or didn't work in these ways. And we can still do that. But the truth is today, these days, what's more likely happening if you're marketing well is somebody's getting your newsletter and then they're seeing a post about it on Facebook, and then they might be in your Facebook group. And it's kind of the convergence of all of those things that are tipping people into the next steps with you. So that's to say, because for better or worse, because of the way technology works and the ways that we consume technology, having different ways of, you know, hitting people is a good thing. Now, I'm saying this to Corinne, this is for everybody's information, but if you're just starting to do a newsletter and you're like, oh my God, she's saying I need to do 5 different things. No. One at a time in the pace that is right for you, okay? Okay. There's so much I can say, so I'm just trying to kind of pick some pieces that would be important, but let me just pause there and ask how all of that's landing and what feels important so far.
So that feels good. It's like the purpose really is, and that is what I'm thinking too, is like, it's another touch point.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling that in myself, like I see somebody's talking about it in many different ways. So maybe the third, no, more like the 7th or 8th time I see it, I actually click on it and like, ooh, is there something here for me or not, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And like noticing my own patterns, and then how do other people people do it. So I like that. It's also this idea of creating a community that can engage with me. And what scares me is this engaging with each other, that the group kind of runs away from me. And also it's almost every time I post something, if a Trumper comes on and kind of hate on me or uses it as a platform to spew something that is really not in alignment with me, my instinct have been to just delete it, not engage with it. Though there's been times when it's been helpful to engage, but it's like I'm such a reluctant communicator that I think my fear about starting the group is like, ooh, now I have a much bigger responsibility.
Yeah, it's another way of stepping into your leadership. So, you know, right? Like, and there's
that's just it.
Yeah. And your group, you get to determine the rules of the group. Like, I love that Facebook groups have rules, you know, and you can set it so that people agree to the rules, you know, and you can be very clear on what those rules are, and also take someone out of the group if they don't abide by the rules. And I'll just share, like, we take people out of the group regularly. Less having to do for political things and more having to do for like insane self-promotion kind of stuff that they just don't listen. And then it's just like, you're out kind of thing. But absolutely, like it's your party. You get to determine the scope and the context of it. And know when there's a comment that is just like, you know what, this isn't even worth it, delete, versus there's a comment, you know, you particularly like if it has to do with race, you don't want to delete the comment, right? If there's a comment where that's a moment, like, so sometimes it's leadership to just get the garbage out. And sometimes it's leadership to stand up to the garbage,
right,
and teach, right? So I don't want to say, oh, it's all, you know, like, yes, it's going to stretch you. I know the fear is there, but I also know that you can handle it and it's going to stretch you in really beautiful ways. Then in terms of, you know, there's so many other things to share. And I know you asked about like, what do you call it and this and that. And so I would, in terms of what you want to call it, you know, I'll offer you this question to start to think about and you can share with us in the Facebook group and we can brainstorm. If you were starting a movement, what would you want that movement to be about? And what would you want to call it? And maybe that will get you even more excited to start it. And so I'll let you sit with that. And then, you know, as that becomes more clear, we can talk about how to actually start it too. Does that feel good for now?
It feels good for now. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Good stuff. Inbal.
I'm busy writing a response. So I have two questions. One is like more vulnerable and inner, but I think I'll start with the business one and then like circle back. So one of my current clients was in the retreat. Like I told her about it. She just did this like overpriced ICF course in the fall. And so we just had like kind of like a complimentary conversation, you know, for half an hour, and then it was 45 minutes. And then I had, I was just bitching to Lissa about this. So sorry for the repeat. And then I just had like a former colleague reach out who's a social worker and is like, hey, can I just pick your brain about like how you shifted into one-on-one work? And I'm just like, you know, just like, yeah, like I want to like be collegial and help people. And I'm also like, I don't have time for this. And it also irritates me that, you know, people with like salaries are like, let me pick your brain.
Yeah.
Because I really like, I feel like all of my time, right, that's not like self-care and life and you know, whatever is, yeah, like needs to be focused on income generation.
Yeah. So what's the boundary that you want to set?
I mean, I could like have an enrollment call with this woman, or like, yeah, I'll give you half an hour, like in February. Cause then what happens is like things like fill up and then I like don't have time. Cause you know, I don't know what like my January looks like yet, but like I have shit I want to do.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, so this might be putting words in your mouth and that this may not be aligned. So check it out. But based on what I'm hearing, you know, I'm going with the enrollment conversation pathway, you know, to respond back and say, so glad you got in touch. And I'm so honored that you thought of me. And the truth is that, you know, people reach out to me about this all the time. And what I've really found is that not only the best way to like honor my time, but to actually honor your sincere desire to, you know, move into this kind of work, instead of us having kind of like a virtual coffee chat, let's set up a time and look for real at what you really want to create and how I might be able to help you with that. How does that land for you?
Yeah, that would be great. And then I can have like a proper and like, here's the link to schedule that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's not like a half hour, which we don't really get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So that you're very clear, right, going in. And it's like, and if that's not for her, then she can find somebody else's brain to pick. And that's okay. You know?
Yeah, that's intense because I was like, well, I'll do this, but only like in February. But yeah, I mean, this actually like feels aligned because then I get salty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You end up resenting it because it's like there are these boundaries that you're not honoring for yourself.
And so with my client, it was like, so, you know, we spoke. And so one, it was like really vulnerable to be like, yeah, like, you know, that like your clients are some former like version of you. And, you know, I also want to be honest with her. And there's a part of me that's like, dude, like, yeah, like what you saw with Joanna, like what you're experiencing with me, like that takes, it takes time, it takes practice. And so then I was like, you know, it was 45 minutes instead of 30. And then, but I was also like, so let's bring some of this into your session. And you
know. So she's a current client.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought she was like an old client. Cause I was going to say, invite her into working with you. Yeah. So, I mean, what's your learning around this for next time with this client?
Work on it in session.
That's what I'm hearing is aligned for you. You know, and it may even be, you know, and it, you know, like mix and match according to the situation, but you know, you didn't know this. Now, you know, like, if you knew she was going into an intense retreat with me or with you or whatever, hey, let's move your session up, our next session up to afterwards, because I know there's going to be so much for us to explore.
Yeah, she's been wanting to do this for a while. So I was like, you know, like we've been working together for a while. Like I felt okay gifting her a half an hour, but then it was like, yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Can I ask something else quickly related? Mm-hmm. So I had my first like reconnection call with a former client. And part of it is that I was like, you know, I was like a little bit fried, but, yeah, it's really hard to, so we were just chatting and it was like really cool, but we didn't really get to, so like there was that connection and it was very like, you know, equal playing field. And then at the end, it was like, so I'd love to like kind of tell you how. So anyway, I feel like I need to circle back with her and set up another time. And I, so it's like, we couldn't get to her gap because it's like, yeah, seems like things are like going really well, but we didn't really get into, cause it was like really chatty, which is like where I was, like, I was just like so fried and not prepared.
Yeah.
But so I will circle back with her and I kind of framed it as like, yeah, I'd love to get something about like, yeah, that I'm working on like being able to share more, like how my work has evolved and, you know, would love her like support with that. And, but yeah, there's something about like this time that needs to like yield something like either data or practice or, yeah. Or at least like bring people closer, even if they're not buying.
Yeah. So first of all, just want to celebrate, right? That that's where you're at. That's awesome. You know, it feels like more of that kind of spark and desire that has not been there, you know, lately. So yay, big yay to that. So you didn't get to any of her gap, and she stepped into the call just as a, like a connection call. Cause you guys hadn't spoken in a while. Did you say she was an old client? Sorry if I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a former client. And so I've been doing some outreach to like, yeah, let's connect, circle back, check in.
Yeah. So
either for them to come back or refer.
Yeah. So what would make sense if you were to send an email, like, what is it that you want to say to her?
Basically that I'd love her to refer, but like she already is. So I guess it's like, what would make it easier for her? Or yeah, like, I mean, she told 8 people about like this winter solstice circle I did. That's like, awesome. She's really like, yeah.
Yeah. So I would,
that was
one
of the reasons it was sweet to just like,
yeah,
shoot the shit.
No. And I think that that's time well spent actually, if she referred 8 people, taking the half hour to shoot the shit, very well spent. So just so you know that, you can send her an email and just say, it was so amazing to talk to you. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to connect and for me to hear some of what's going on for you. I know I already thanked you for all of your referrals in December, but I just really, from the bottom of my heart, wanted to thank you again. I appreciate it so much. If you have any thoughts or ideas on how I can make it easier for you to send people my way, let me know. And of course, like, you know, no pressure at all, or, you know, no attachment, but if at any point you're ready to continue our work together, nothing would make me happier.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good stuff. Dina.
Hey, Joanna. Your face moved, so I had to find you again on here. So I know that like we've like kind of talked like casually about this on our calls, and I feel like I'm finally ready to like make some decisions around my business plan and pricing for this year, like my core offerings. And so I just sort of, as much as we can like talk through and get some pricing solidified for myself. And then if you need me to like post anything in the group, then I can do that. But so essentially, I think like I have like 3 core offerings, one being my monthly membership group, one being a 3-month group program, which I'm going to flesh out more, but part of me is seeing it as like 2 6-week programs that can be bundled together. But essentially, it's like a 3-month group program that's like a hybrid, one-on-one and group. And then the final is just one-on-one coaching. My packages of like 3 or 6 months. So I guess the biggest struggle that I've had in the past is like the group hybrid and the one-on-one pricing, like the pricing has been the same, which feels weird. So as I'm like revisiting, I'm feeling like the 3-month program is around like maybe a 3K price point, and it's got weekly group calls. And so if I'm doing it in a I did it in a 6-week container, and that was like, they got 2 one-on-one calls with me and then weekly calls. So I guess if it's a 3-month container, it would be 2 one-on-one calls and weekly group calls.
Wait, if in the 6-week, they got 1 call with you or 2?
2.
So in the 3-month, it would be 4.
It'd be like 4, yeah.
Okay.
And then group calls. And then there's like a lot of resources though, like workbooks and guided meditation, stuff like that. Okay.
And it meets every week, so 12 yeah. times. Okay,
yeah.
Some things down here. Okay. And how long are the group meetings and how long are the privates?
Yeah, they've been about 90 minutes. Like I tell them to carve out 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And for the privates?
How long or how long do I want them to be? I'm having a real big problem of like giving too much where it's like draining for myself and them. I've been like, that's something I'm working on, but I'm thinking that 90 minutes feels good since it's not like, since it's, you know, not like weekly calls necessarily. So I'm thinking like 75 to 90. I just have to like figure that out.
Okay.
Cause I do tend to like crave more space cause I bring in like the I Ching stuff and then some coaching. So.
Okay. Okay, great.
So then that's the 3-month program. And yeah, like I said, so I wrote down that, you know, if they buy at the 2 6-weeks, it's 1500 for the 6-week. And then I wrote down, maybe they, you know, it's 2K if they buy them. Does that even make sense?
No.
If they buy them separately, then they like save, you know, I was like, then they save $1,000. So maybe 2,500 yeah. or something. And they save 500.
Yeah, that's better. 25, like 24.
And this is more than I've been charging. So this is like totally new. In the past, I think I only charged like, I've charged like the most I've charged, I think is like $1,000 for the 3 months or like 1500 or something. So yeah, so this is like almost double, but the reason is because then I'm like into my one-on-one clients, I'm really only charging $500 a month for my one-on-one work. And we meet 3 times a month and then they have unlimited access to me via email or Telegram.
And those are also 75 to 90 minutes?
Yeah, again, they've been. Like I say like 75 minutes. Some clients take 60 minutes when we're consistent and sometimes we go a little over, but I'll just say 75 minutes.
Okay. And how much are you charging for that?
So I say it's $500 a month. I do 3 and 6 month packages. So far people have only done 3 months and then they add on 3 months and add on. But then what I've been doing, and maybe I should stop, I don't know, is that if they pay in full, it's $1,200, so $400 a month. Well, $1,200 if they pay in full, and then $500.
Sounds like you're making the group more expensive than the privates.
Yeah, and the group that like almost feels good. So then I guess it then becomes I need to raise my privates. But what I've been doing is like even somebody that's been working with me for a while, she only pays me not she pays me like she's been working with me for like, you know, like almost maybe a year and a half to 2 years, and I just default her to like essentially $1,000 a month because she'll just pay me in full. $1,000 for 3 months. So she'll just pay me in full $1,000 every 3 months.
For
so
one.
That's like, that's kind of, I've been like grandfathering her in at like $333 a month, which, you know, I mean, now we're in like kind of maintenance mode. So it doesn't feel bad because she's the one that it's like 45 minutes, 60 minute sessions. She doesn't need a lot. But that being said, that's not really the pricing I want to have.
Yeah. So, all right, this is your business. You get to do it your way, right? Like there's no, you know, what I'm about to say may not be the way, but I'm just gonna kind of say,
what it's coming up for me is I need to raise my one-on-one rates, but then I guess that just means that because I haven't even sold them at the 500 a month very much. So it'll take a lot of inner work, I guess.
Right. That's what I like. I want you to raise your rates, but not so much that it doesn't, of course it's worth it. You know, like we're not talking value here at all. I'm just want the rates to be at a place where like you energetically can bring people in too. You know, I think it's a mistake when people just like triple their rates mm-hmm. if they're not energetically ready. Yeah,
I agree. That doesn't work well for me.
Yeah. So I'm just going to throw some things out, and this isn't the way, it's just things to start to think about. I want to suggest with the group to make the privates shorter. It's not private work. They are getting private sessions, and they can choose in a session to do I Ching, you know, if maybe you get a little bit of coaching in there or coaching, like a touch of I Ching, but I'm actually thinking like 45-minute sessions for private 45-minute sessions, as opposed to 75 to 90 minutes. And it's just understood they're not getting what you would get in a private program with you. Okay. And then if those sessions are a little bit shorter, you know, then we're already, I mean, there's already a difference between the group and the one-on-one, but we're kind of already making more of a difference. And I'm all about you raising your rates, Dana, but my sense is that you'd have to raise your private so high based on what you're putting the group at that it's not going to make sense for you in terms of selling. So with reducing the private time, you know, my thought is more, in the past you've done 3 months for 1,000, do the 3 months for 2,000, like you had said, and maybe the 6 week is 1,300 or something like that. Okay. Just so that gives you a little bit more flexibility to not like, you know, triple or quadruple your private rates yet. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if the 3 months with these shortened privates are 2,000, then the 3 months of one-on-one could be, you know, 2,500 or 3,000, somewhere in there.
Okay, which would be like essentially $1,000 or more than what I'm already charging. Yeah, which feels crazy because I'm like barely getting people at the $500 a month, but it's like, it just has to happen, you know?
Well, right. And they can go into the group then, right? So, and you can make the group, I was going to say, can even be like 1900 or 1950 just to, you know, that way, if your privates end up at 25 or 26, you know, like there's still a big difference there. Mm-hmm. And someone that just can't step in or isn't ready to step into the private investment, there's this incredible group that meets every week and they still do get some privates with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm thinking something along those lines. How would that feel?
Yeah, based on what I've just fleshed out, it feels more in alignment. So I'm definitely going to sit with it. I also have people that just want to have like a one-on-one I Ching reading that have had readings in the past and they just come out of the blue every, you know, season or whatever. And right now I price them at 147, but I'm like, if I'm just doing single readings, it's gotta be so much more, which feels like such a stretch, but it just has to be, right? Like double? I don't even know.
All of this, yeah, based on all of this, I'd say like, I mean, I don't have all the math right, you know, but I'd say like more like closer to 300.
Probably. Yeah, and then I mean, I like to keep them longer if they're only coming seasonally because I need more time anyway. So maybe just add more value there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you need to add too much to it.
Or just like, because I feel like I'd like to have more space if I'm not talking to them more regularly to be effective for the way I do things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then I do have questions about my moon circle, but I'll post that in the group.
Awesome. Yeah. Or I can swing back around to you.
Okay.
If you want to re-raise your hand.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Penny.
Hi.
Hi.
So, I have two questions. One's about And so I had done a bit of marketing, more or less, and the other one's more a content about an exercise and how to make it more potent. So I've run two intros to this. I'm trying to do this 6-week program for people. And so far I only have two people that have signed up for it. And I'm thinking that that for this group and for this program that I'm just starting, it's like I was trying to do a 1.5-hour session that would be me, where I would teach the technique, we practice it, and then another hour in the week do Q&As and some laser coaching kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it feels like maybe that's too much time commitment, and then the money was too high. So what I was thinking about doing was changing the structure of it to just have a 1-2-hour session. Mm-hmm. And make the price less than, and give people a discount if they sign up in the next 48 hours, because there were, you know, numbers of people who wrote who said they were sort of interested, but they didn't have the time or whatever else. So so I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. So that's the first thing.
Yeah. So so long as you, in your expertise, sense that they can be supported and you can get them to the results that you're promising and that they want in the 2 hours, for sure. You know, yeah. And that is something, it's, you know, like we think like, oh, if we give more, it's going to, you know, more time, people are going to want that more. But the truth is people are so busy these days that a lot of times it's not the money, like it can be the money, but it's the time investment too. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So if you can get them, you know, together with them, the results in less time, 100%.
Yeah, I think it'll work, because I'll do a private Facebook group too, where I can answer questions and support people in between. So I don't think that'll be a problem. And it wasn't even occurring to me that the overload of time kind of issue until I talked with another friend today. So I thought, okay, yeah. I can give that a try. Yeah. Good.
And then just all the people that reached out say like, thank you so much. You know, you're not the only one. I've heard from a number of you that you really want to do this, that you feel how powerful this will be, but you know, this is like twice a week is a lot. And so I really thought about it and how, you know, we could still create exactly what I'm talking about, you know, been talking about the results, you know, whatever. And so this is how we're going to do it. And this is the new pricing for it. You know, would you like,
right.
Or would you like to hop on a quick call to talk about it?
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And then the other thing was the one of the exercises that we did in the class, and it works for people who are, I'm trying to figure out if it's working for people who are a little more sophisticated and already doing a lot of personal growth, so they kind of know how to go in, versus the people who didn't have much experience. So it's an exercise that takes people into their body sensation. It's kind of the alarm that goes off when you've been triggered, or you're feeling judgmental, or you're get scared about something. So they have to go into their body and feel that alarm in order then to feel the release that can come. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious you know, it happens automatically when people are in the situation. And right. Once they've learned the technique and they can use it in a situation, they can see how it works. But coming in cold, how do you elicit people getting really into that feeling so they can actually feel the impact of the exercise?
Yeah.
So that's my question.
Yeah, that's such a great question. Yeah, you want to create context. That's as you were describing it, that was in my head, I was like, is there any context being created before going into the exercise? And so you do, it's very, the setup is just as important as the actual exercise and visualization, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. So there's a couple of ways that you want to set it up. So number one, teaching, right? If you're not already doing that, like explaining what happens when we're in stressful situations, you know, how the alarm bells go off, why they go off, what happens when they go off, what it holds us back from, you know, like, so first just intellectual, giving some context around, right? And then from there, you know, I'd recommend doing some journaling for them to first see in general, you know, when has this happened? What has the impact been on me? You know, what, why, or, you know, you may want to ask around the fear, you know, stuff like that. And then from there, start to ask a question like, try to think about the last week. What's a moment when this happened for you, or in the last 2 weeks, what's a moment? What was happening that these alarm bells went off, right? So just all of this cognitive, intellectual, but to give them something to work with,
yeah,
and be willing to be invested to then go in to the exercise.
Yeah. I actually had people be committed to that.
Say that again.
I said, I actually asked people to be committed to whether they were willing to actually feel those feelings or not. So
yeah. Awesome. That's beautiful. Yeah. So all of that. And then the other piece that might be important is like to speak about resistance.
Yes.
Right. And why we might resist this exercise and how to know if you're resisting and then what to do if you find yourself in resistance.
Okay. Okay. And what would you tell people what to do?
So, you know, without knowing, I can imagine what the exercise is, but without knowing all the ins and outs, like I would say, and how you're leading it, but, you know, come back to your body, notice if there's fear, right? There's always fear under resistance. What would the fear be? And you can even ask them beforehand, like if you end up in resistance, why do you know, what's the fear that's going to put you there, right? So it's just that they have all that.
Yeah.
Going in.
Yeah. Okay,
and you know, the other thing always with somatic pieces or visualizations that I always feel is important is like everybody's going to have a different experience, mm-hmm, and get what they need. And one, okay, person's experience is going to look very, for some of you, you're going to get to like the other side of the trigger. For others of you, you're going to learn a lot about your fear and your resistance, right? Like wherever you need to be with it is exactly.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. Good. Helpful. Thank you. So
yeah.
I just want to try and keep, I was like, so I can get so disappointed, like if it's not immediate enrollment in something, and then like the part of me that just wants to throw the whole thing away, you know, at that point, oh, this isn't working, you know? And this time I went, nope, I want to figure out what's not working. What didn't I do right? What can I change? How can I do this?
That is a breakthrough right there, right? Total breakthrough. And first of all, just to normalize, I bet everybody here is like, yeah, you know, I feel the same way. Me too. And there are plenty of things that I launch that in the beginning, I'm like, this isn't gonna work, right? But you just like stick with it and you find the ways.
Yeah, yeah, good. Thank you, thank you. Because I feel like I know personally that these practices and this over the last 6 months has completely changed things for me that I never thought would change in my body. And so I know it's powerful work and I really want to share it. So I don't want to give up on it right away.
Yeah. No, no, don't have patience with it. And like, you know, it needs to be nurtured. It just needs that.
Good. Yeah. It's good to hear. Cause I somehow or another, there's a part of me that feels like if you don't get it right the first time, then it's no.
I can just tell so many stories. Even this Sacred Depth launch, you know, I've led Sacred Depth so many times. The first month of the launch, and Bob can attest to this, I was like, I think I said to you guys, like, it's like pushing a rock up a hill, you know, it was just like, and now we're over full, right? But because I was willing to try something else and different and keep on coming at, and it may have ended up that we wouldn't have been over full this time too, and that's okay also. And so next time, and I learn from it and keep on going, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay, good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Kelvin.
Oh, I didn't know I was up yet. Okay, cool, hi. I have been working on some limiting beliefs. Now that I'm becoming more visible.
Yay!
I'm not showing up authentically though online on my business website. And this really big limiting belief and fear is that I will limit my potential and my audience if I share a really like important thing about me, which is that I was assigned female at birth and I've worked really hard to become comfortable in my own skin. I'm just worried that it's gonna like detract from what I'm actually trying to do and detract my audience and like typecast me in a way. I don't wanna be like the trans coach and like that's all I do is trans. Like it's a part of me, an important part of me, but it's not all I am.
Yeah.
So I just keep going around and around because I know I need to do it. I just don't know now.
Yeah.
I was hoping for some help in getting unstuck.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. And, you know, there's so many different ways, right, in any situation to move forward with it. There's not one way. And I'm listening really closely to what you're saying. Like, and if you wouldn't be saying, I'm not showing up authentically, right? Like if you would just feel fine about not revealing and be at peace with it and feel like it was authentic, then it wouldn't need to be revealed, right? It wouldn't be an important piece of the equation. But because you can really see that it's not authentic, and you said you feel like you really need to, and I don't think the need is coming from a have to. I think, and you can tell me if I'm getting this right, it is coming from a desire to reveal this part of you.
It's a desire to be in alignment with myself. I value authenticity. I think it's a really important thing to live authentically. It's a hard thing sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think not sometimes. I think always.
It's a very important thing.
Yes. Yeah. And you've been on such a courageous, empowering journey for yourself. And it, you know, I wouldn't say that it's important to share unless I'm hearing that from you. So tell me if I'm getting that right. But what I'm getting from you is it feels important to share that too. So just because you share it doesn't mean that you have to be the trans coach or, you know, like pigeonholed in that way or anything like that. You know, it is all about how you share it 100% and your intention in how you use it. You get to command how you want to use the information that you share. And there always, no matter what it is that you share, there are always going to be some people that maybe pigeonhole or decide that's not for me, right? And that's fine. You're not those people. And my senses tell me if I'm getting this right, like this is not what you're going to lead with so that it's like, right. Like that doesn't feel authentic for you either. Right. It's a part of you and your story and what you're about, but not all of it. And it's, it feels like it's about pulling out as you share it, pulling out some of the lessons that you have learned from it, to make it universal for, you know, people that have experienced a number of different experiences in their life. Is that all landing so far?
Yes. And then the busy part of my brain is, well, how?
Of course we want to go to the how. So tell me, are you ready to go to the how, or is there, because we can go to the how. But before we do, like, is there anything?
I need an answer to the how, because
okay. Sometimes
I need to address it. My body won't let me not do it. So I'm like carrying this around and I don't want to anymore.
Yeah. Awesome. So we're going to talk about the how, and then as you create, we'll see other, you know, what inner pieces come up, and you'll let us know as you go through that. So as with any story that we share personally, this is really important. Like we do want to craft it. Like we actually want to craft how we're presenting it to make it, to make the story and the journey that we're sharing resonate for the people reading it, right? Or yes. You know, all of that. So here's some next steps for you. I would, number one, make a list of all of the lessons that you've learned through this, right? Might be part of it might be confidence, a part of it might be self-love, a part of it might be standing up for who you are no matter what, or you know, whatever it is. But I'd make a list of lessons and places that you've arrived to and have embodied, even if it's not fully right, because we're all always learning around it. And those lessons are kind of your end point, the hero's end point, if you will. Then I want you to go back and say, okay, where did I start at the beginning of my journey? Where was I? And whatever those places were, right? So then you've got a start point for you as the hero in the story and an end point for you as the hero in the story. And then from there, you can go about crafting the story, starting with 10 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, wherever the journey started, this is what my experience was. And this is what I was feeling. And those feelings, Calvin, those are going to be universal, whether someone is trans or not, right? Like what you were feeling at the beginning of that journey and what you were struggling with, right? Of course, there are certain things that are unique 100%, but there are also pieces in that, right? Not feeling like myself, not feeling accepted. I don't know, I'm making this up. This may not be yours, right? And then journey to, and then share how, you know, in a simplified version, a couple pieces of what you had to go through to get to those end lessons and what it feels like now to be there. And that's going to allow you, I think, and you know, you'll see as you move through that, like really share and be authentic and also open your story up so that it's not just, you know, here's the trans coach, but here is Calvin, like here is who I am and what I've learned in my life. How does that land for next steps?
I think it's a great next step. Thank you.
Awesome. I really hope that you will keep us posted and share with us. And yeah, let us know as you do it. Great.
Thank you.
Anne.
I forgot I'd raised my hand. So I am like really in my resistance right now. In setting some goals for myself, you know, one of the things I need to do is increase my visibility, increase my connection with my community. And I had actually reached out to Monica for some help, and she said, you know, set a goal for 3 sales calls a week, and you might have to, in her words, get scrappy about connecting with people and like actually calling people or emailing people, reaching out, saying, who do you know? Because I am so early in terms of building my community, have not been consistent with, you know, creating that social media, don't have my website, don't have my newsletter. And it sort of has all felt like this big cloud of a lot of things to do and then struggling to kind of focus down on the one thing. But I recognize that probably the best way to generate some prospect calls is to reach out to people who know me or who have worked with me. And like the icy grip of fear is a really good description. There's a couple of things I can see about that. One is, as far as clients, besides the clients that I have right now who kind of organically either looped back to me or came through some connections with people, said, hey, do you do work with this? I closed my office. It's been for like 5 years since I closed my office. And the people that I was working with before who were coming to me for hypnosis, for, you know, behavioral change, for mindset shift, I haven't talked to any of them or followed up with any of them in at least 5 years. So when I think about reaching out to them, even just the idea of writing an email like, hey, here's what I'm doing now, and I'm wondering if you'd be open to a conversation about, you know, what I'm up to and whether that's something that you or someone you know might be interested in. Like, I feel like I'm going to puke.
Yeah. What's the fear? What's the actual fear?
Fear of rejection isn't really the right word. But I guess that's the closest thing. Like, you know, but I'm afraid they're going to be offended that I reached out, that they're going to feel intruded upon, hunted down, stalked. I'm afraid that like whatever great results they had when they were working with me, that like 5 years later, like what if their life fell apart and they blame me for it? Or like, I mean, some of it's, you know, outside of that. And there's like, with that is also the idea of reaching out even just people that are in my life and the conversations that have already happened about why people who adore me and are like, oh my God, you're amazing. And I'm so glad you're my friend and you give the most amazing advice. And oh my gosh, you must be an amazing coach. And then I'm like, that's awesome. Like, do you know anybody? And they're like, I can't believe you asked me that. And I'm just like, but this is how I know to connect. So then there's this other like panic piece that comes in of, if I can't trust my friends, the people that say they love me, to say, oh, hey, my friend does this work, then somebody that I don't even know as well, why would they want to hear from me? And I'd like, I didn't realize how active that was. Like between last night and today, I was trying to do some planning work on it. And it just, it's like that.
Yeah.
It's like a squirrel hanging on the screen door feeling.
Yeah, I totally get it. Okay, so there's a couple of pieces here. I'm gonna kind of reflect on a couple things. So first of all, I just wanna say, I'm sorry that your friends had that reaction. And I totally get why you would go into that mode. And tell me if I'm getting this right. I feel like you also have survived that. And my guess is that most of those relationships are still intact.
Most. I guess there's another, it was brought to my attention that recently that somebody that I thought was a really close friend who really understood me was spreading rumors that I was involved in a cult and that I, you know, wasn't really like stable anymore. And that kind of looped into other stuff from like back when I was president of my queer choir and was told like the reason nobody wants to do anything is because you're too maternal. And like, really? Because that's usually one of the things people like. But so it's sort of all snowballed in the last kind of 24 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm really going to get serious about reaching out because I recognize that's necessary. I'm actually kind of hoping you're going to be like, oh no, it's totally not necessary. There's a way to do this without talking to people, but I know you're not going to say that.
No, I'm not. What's the actual lesson with your friend that has spread this rumor? Is like, what's the learning here for you on that? Because I know the fear is telling you the learning is to just like, shut yourself in a cave, but I don't think that's actually the learning, right? Is that really the learning here for you?
No, I mean, that's definitely the fear-driven piece of it. If I really drag myself out of the fear pit, there's this like little peaceful voice in the background trying to say, you can't please everybody. You are not for everyone, and that is okay. Because the people that you are for, you are really for.
Yeah. So Anne, stay with that. And I heard you say that it's a peaceful voice. Where is that peace in your body? Where do you feel that?
It's like above and kind of behind my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to invite you to be with that peaceful knowing that you're not for everybody, and that is as it should be. And just connect into that place above and behind your heart. And just really breathe into that place. Be with that peace. Allow that feeling of peace in this wisdom take up space, its rightful space inside of you.
It's almost like, you know, those cartoons of like the angel and the demon on the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost like this equal kind of location of like all of the deep, dark fears that if somebody that I thought was a really deep and trusted friend thought those things, didn't have the guts to talk to me, mm-hmm. and thought it was okay to spread shit in our very close community, that also, and like, it made sense why all of a sudden there was this other group of friends that dropped out of my life and I didn't know why. But that's like, there's this other space that just like keeps wanting to like push in the middle of like, but you missed it. You shouldn't have missed it. Like what did you, like the victim blaming bullshit of mm-hmm. what is did you that give true? Them that let them do this? Yeah. You know,
and is that true that you should have caught that?
I pride myself on having a really good intuitive read on people. And part of my strength as a coach and as a transformational practitioner is being able to hear what's behind what people are saying and see their own internal.
And you,
sometimes that they don't know. And I missed it with somebody and it got turned on me. And so it makes me doubt my own gift.
Yeah. So you have that gift. Are you willing to not be apply the myth of perfection here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to catch it. It is a setup for failure to expect yourself to catch it every time, or even with like every good friend or whatever. That is a setup.
Yeah, it physically feels like that fear space just kind of like sat back when you directed my attention to the perfection. Like, oh yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Like instead of being this giant like clawing fear, it mm-hmm. settled into that space that just keeps trying to protect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So make a body memory of that.
Yeah.
And what does your feeling of peace want to tell that other part of your body right now? What's the communication that needs to happen here?
We don't have to get it right all the time to be brilliant at it.
Ah, yes, chills. Yeah, take that in. Really feel that.
And also that, like, and my friend. I became aware in that same, like, information sharing that I didn't know this was something that she had done to other people, that this was a pattern. And if I, like, I know I need to distance some in that relationship, like, it's not going to be a safe relationship in its current form, but, like, having some compassion that for someone to act in that way repeatedly with different people, there has to be a wound of some sort, a fear that's being compensated for. And it's not my job to fix it. It's not my job to heal it. It's not my job even to figure it out or find out what it is.
No, no, no.
But just to have compassion that that's there and that's human and it's okay to have a boundary with it.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Good. So, so well done. There are a couple of logistical pieces I want to share, but does that feel good? Do you feel like, okay.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. And it just, like, looped into, you know, people who have not understood when I've expressed my work in years past.
Yeah.
And haven't been able to own, it's just not for them. And so instead, random person here, random person there, felt the need to, like, talk trash. And it just sort of all,
yeah,
hooked in the same place.
So I'm glad that you're untangling that. I think doing some journaling a little later to just, you know, cognitively integrate some of these pieces would be good. And then just a couple things I want to say. One, which you know and we all know, but just, like, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, like, there's always the risk, you know. And also, I mean, I don't stop being scared. I just want everybody to know that. Like, you know, I mean,
that is good to hear.
What?
That is good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you that were at the retreat this week, like, that, I was terrified going in, and I had to deal with, like, major vulnerability hangover, like, shame afterwards, even though intellectually I knew that it was, like, beyond amazing and sales were coming in and coming in and coming in. Like, I had to, there was my shame again, right in front of me, you know? And so, like, just to say, like, it's normal, you know, like, really, and you can do it, right? Like, even though this stuff is coming up, you can still do it. And then the other just piece I want to share is for some of the people, you think about how you're going to reach out to people too, because we're, you know, like, words do matter, and how we put it matters. And I'm happy to take a look, and we all can in the Facebook group. But, like, you know, sometimes I find number one, like, if you haven't been in touch with someone in a long time, just naming it, like, I know, you know, it's been ages. I've thought about you so much, and I don't want this to be weird, me, you know, like, reaching out of nowhere. Right. So, like, to just name that can sometimes be helpful. People like to be helpful. So couching it in, like, asking for help, like, not help or support, not necessarily using those words, but it would be, you know, like, it would just be so helpful for me to hop on the phone and, you know, like, maybe, so I guess what I'm saying is maybe not directly ask for the business, but for some people, if it feels right, set it up as an informational interview where they're kind of, you know, willing to get on the phone with you. And you would do the same things, activate gap, activate vision, talk about how you would share, but you, like, ask them questions. It would give you marketing information. But oftentimes when you do it that way, if someone is meant to work for you, they'll ask you even at the end, like, oh, can we do this? Or it might feel appropriate at the end for you to say, like, you, this wasn't my intention, but would it make sense for us to talk about working together, right? So there's different ways that you can approach it too, depending on who the person is.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And there's more, you know, you need some more support around some of those pieces. We can look at those moving forward.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Good. Kelsey. And my intention is to try to get Alana and Ball to try to get you guys too, if I can. I've got to hop off at like 2:35, but I'll do as much as I can. Kelsey.
Hi. I've been trying to formulate my question, but I've also been in the car trying to go meet with the soundproofer at my condo who stood me up, right? Like, it's like such a perfect example of like, my life feels totally out of control. Completely. I mean, it's like vulnerable to say this in this group, and I know I'm exaggerating, but it also feels completely out of my control, and not my work, but I don't feel motivated to do my work because I'm just totally overwhelmed with things that are out of my control outside my work. So I'm trying to get my daughter into a different school and her dad is blocking. I'm trying my tenant. I have a condo. The downstairs neighbors scream and yell and fight and bang all day long, breaking the law. And my tenants are going to move out. I'm going to have an empty condo and I can't get the, it's like everything. Not, I tried to bring it up at my HOA meeting and this other lady screamed at me. It's like literally I can't make my life work right now. And it feels horrible. And I think that's just something like, how do you do your work? How do you try to help people when you feel literally on the edge?
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I hear you and I have been there more than once and I get it. So yeah, first that just, you're not, I know you said you're vulnerable sharing, you're not alone. Like it is very normal to cycle back to the place where you are right now because shit happens in life, you know, and sometimes like lots of shit at the same time. So, you know, all that being said, I have a feeling you know some of the answers to your own questions.
And the only thing that's coming up for me is just give it up. Like, give it up. Keep your daughter in the shitty school. Let your tenants move out. Like, there's no more. There really is no more that I can do. I'm done.
And then go to an even like wisdom even beyond that, which I know is hard sometimes. I hear the give up, but what's the wisdom above that?
I mean, I guess that it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, she'll be fine. She'll hate school, but she'll live, you know, like maybe it'll all work out, let go. You know, take care of myself, slow down. I know all the things, you know?
Okay. Knowing them and knowing them are too, right? Like, I was waiting for you to say, take care of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I know. And I've been taking care of myself. I have actually.
Yeah. Good. Good.
But I can't write a newsletter from this place. I can hardly get through a coaching call. I can do it. Right. But
yeah. So what's it that you like, what is it that you need? Right. Like, so first of all, newsletter off the plate right now. You're not doing newsletters. Do you need to cancel a day or two of clients? What is the boundary that you need to set for yourself here? Because you're at the center of all of this. Like, you can't do anything for your daughter. You can't do anything for your apartment. You can't do anything for your business or your clients unless you are nourished, right? So what do you need?
I mean, I guess I could cancel, but I feel like when there's nothing I can do to change the things that are the thing, then having more time to feel like you can't do anything doesn't necessarily feel like it'll be more helpful.
So what's a better use? How can you use the time if you were to open up time for, instead of just feeling more of I can't do anything? What is it that you actually need?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is where it's confusing. I could spend a day watching Netflix, you know, or I could, I don't know, clean up my house. I don't even know. I think that's like the hard part.
Yeah,
I guess I need help, but this isn't a time where you can't actually get someone to help, you know? I mean, I have coaches, I've got, you know, I could go get some acupuncture, I guess.
That sounds like a really good idea.
Like, yeah,
I say this with love, like so much love and not from a pedestal or whatever, but my sense is like you're just frayed at the edges. Like my sense is that your nervous system is deregulated right now. And you know, I don't have to tell you, like that's the next place.
Yeah.
So if part of moving back into regulation is like getting an acupuncture treatment and watching some Netflix and like I'm a Virgo, cleaning up does something for my soul, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, right. But for sure the body work and then with no agenda for the day, right? Like maybe the body work and then whatever else that Kelsey needs to take care of her nervous system. And I don't know what happens next with the school or the apartment from there, but I do know that you're going to be in a better place. And I also, you may need 2 days, by the way, I don't know. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just hard when you're a single mom, but I guess I'll figure it out.
Get it.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just getting re-regulated. I think that's it. Cause I do have calls later today.
You can have those calls, but you have full permission to cancel them.
Yeah. I think the ones I have today will be fine. Yeah, Sandra, oxygen mask. Yeah, I just need to rest. I just need to rest and probably exercise. You know, I've been doing all that. I've been connecting with friends, you know, going on walks in the woods, whatever. I feel like, I mean, I guess I have to not look at the news anymore at all. That's probably part of it. It's so disturbing.
Yeah. Don't underestimate just like the collective, like people always think that I'm an empath, but I'm actually not an empath. I've been thinking about this lately. Like I'm not an empath, but the events of this last week have been hitting me so deep, you know, it's like, how can we not be? How can we not be? So, you know, it's, I think you're getting what you need here, right? There's no quick fix, but also don't make sure you don't fall into the thinking of like, I already took care of myself enough. Why aren't I better now? Right? Like I can go there too. That is not helpful thinking. You need more.
Yeah.
You need more.
Yeah. It's making me question just how I've set up my whole life. Actually, that's like maybe part of the hardest part. It's like, this feels like I could get through this thing, but then I'm like, fuck. Like this is how I set up my life. Like, you know, no sick days, no paid vacation, no support, no whatever. You know, I'm 48, but when I'm 55, it's going to be even harder.
Well, so this is like a moment to learn too, right? And again, no shame there or beating yourself up there either. Like every year I learn a little bit more about how I need to give myself more space in my business, you know, and like, it's a process.
Yeah.
What are you taking? What's important here that you're taking for you?
what I'm taking is that I need to clear more space, which I know, and I know I'm sounding like a resistant whatever, like it's not impossible is not the right word, but it's close.
You're a single mother during a pandemic, and I like, as much as I can get it, I so get it. And do what you can to create space.
Yeah. And I need to see it within my schedule, how it works to go get some body work. And
that can go such a long way.
Yeah, it can. And turn off the news. I mean, I'm not watching the news or anything. I'm, you know, reading the New York Times and stuff, but it's not helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And we're here and I'm here. Let us know what you need.
Thanks.
All right, it's after 2:30. Of course, if you need to leave. I've got a call that I can put off for a few minutes. Alana, I know that, Alana and Ball, I know your hands are raised. I'm gonna just swing back to you, Alana and Ball, if you need something, you know, afterwards, just let me know or let us know in the Facebook group. So Alana, we may not get, you know, the topic is such a big topic. I don't think we're going to get through all of it, but tell us, you know, what is it that you, you know, like what do you need next?
I'd rather use it to ask the other question I had about like an immediate client thing, if that's okay. And because the other one, like you said, is a big topic that can't be like rushed through. So I can follow up on the Facebook and Inbal offer to meet with me. So I have I shared that I had signed a client for a 6-month program that I created for her, and it includes an all-day virtual retreat. I've never done an all-day virtual retreat. So I've broken it up into 3 90-minute sessions throughout the day. And the idea is that when we're not meeting, she's going to be, you know, working on her own stuff, and I'll be available for her if she needs to check in with me. But, you know, I don't want us on Zoom for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
And so that will be taking place January 25th. And I kind of just need a little help with like, how do I prepare her for it? I thought to maybe send her first a questionnaire that's like, and part of it is supposed, one of those sections is meant to be our visioning session for the 6 months. Mm-hmm. We also do a lot of embodied work, like some of it is sound work. So I'm kind of, I have some idea, like I want to send her an email that's like, what do you want to receive from this? Not from the whole 6 month, but from this, knowing the way that we've worked together in the past, I'd love to hear some ideas you have about what you'd like to receive so that I kind of custom create it. But other than that, I'm not really sure like how to plan for it. So I was just wanted to get your idea about like what steps I could take to prepare.
Do you have any sessions with her before then or that?
No, this is like the kickoff of our new program.
Okay. Based on what you guys spoke about when she decided to sign up, what would you like for her to receive on that day? Like what is it that you want her to walk away with from that day?
I want her to feel really nourished. I want her to feel like she's getting, because one of the things she said that she really appreciated about our work together is that she feels like she's has to be the space holder in so many of her situations. And she loves that I can be, the metaphor we came up with is like, I'm the banks and she's the river. And so it's really meaningful. So I want her to feel nourished. I want to be able to go deeper into some of the practices that in our 90-minute sessions are really kind of truncated. Like I'd like her to have a longer sound session where she really gets to go deep. But other than that, and then she's working on this book project that is massive, but she doesn't even, she in our contract could send me pages to look at, and that's not what she wants for me. She wants like space holding suggestions, like dealing with more of the inner work. That's what has tended to be the way it's shown up. So I want to like set her up so that she feels that she's able to continue to work on her project and keep like unblocking anything that needs to be blocked, and then get a sense of her larger vision for their time together.
Yep. So I would send her a note, like sharing all of that with her. Like this is what my intentions for our time are on Monday. And I wanted to see if that lands for you. And if not, you know, what is it that you would like to receive, or, you know, what is it that you would want to add to this? And then based on her answer, you know, from there, you can create, I wouldn't create a lot, you know, but a couple of questions for her to think about and, you know, share with you beforehand or bring to the time, but like three, you know, but that way there's a shared intention already going into it. But I honestly don't think that you need more than that.
Would I ask the questions before, or you're saying I would actually ask the questions after she
first see if this resonates with her and this is, you know, like what she wants to receive and if there's anything else. And then based on her answer, I would send three journaling questions.
Okay. And I was also thinking about trying to set up some things like telling her to like have like really healthy, delicious meals prepared and like make sure she has like a clean space and like all like kind of give her, but I would do that, I think, after I do this preliminary note.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So excited for that.
Yay.
All right, you guys, sending you all so much love. I'm around if you need anything.
Bye.